thank you for joining us. We are here in our home again on a beautiful, sunny California day. And we're going to take up where we left off on our last one. We were talking about some things that God's been showing Johnny about the solar eclipse that's coming on August 21st. And I love last time when you talked about the pathway that's 67 miles wide that's going to cover the United States. The eclipse will happen all over the globe, right? But in terms of, or is it just the United States?
It's really, the United States is the only nation that it's getting it in totality.
Oh,
it's actually going to go through some parts of South America. It's not for the whole globe to see.
Okay, wow. So this really is something...
For the United States.
Primarily centered on the United States. When you talked about this another time, you said that it looks like, and if you see it on a map, you could probably Google it and see on a map, that it looks like the seatbelt or a sash that goes across your chest. And it just goes from like Oregon area all the way across the middle, and you'll get into the details of that, down to the southeast. And I think it's so cool that it's like the seatbelt, like God's saying, get ready, we're going somewhere. As a nation, we are headed somewhere specific. And just like an eclipse is something that happens quickly, it's there and then it's gone. Like, I feel like there's a moment that God is opening up in the spirit realm that just let's hear you speak into that some.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. It really, if you look at the pictures of the map, the solar path, the eclipse path, it does, it's the first thing that hit me. It's like a sash across the whole United States, but I thought that looks like a seatbelt being put on. And that's what I was really hearing from the Lord. Like, yeah, even before you're going to fly in an airplane, it's fasten your seatbelts. We of course do that in a car as well, but there is something that is being initiated by the Lord. It's a Kairos moment from heaven. And again, we've had a series of convergences. They all have been part and parcel of this one, the Azusa Now timetable and everything that was happening then. You know, some expected it to be a bigger result, but there's waves of change from heaven coming. And that was one of them. And we've had a series of them. And so this eclipse, this total solar eclipse is speaking into that. And it is significant. And yeah, and I was picking up stuff as it relates to the 67 mile wide path, of course. I don't believe numbers, they can be coincidental, but very often the Lord is speaking through
67
them.
67 is a very awesome year.
Yeah.
Some very amazing people were born that year.
Yeah. This young lady was born in 1967, which means this very month, she is celebrating a big birthday. I don't know how she's just turning 30. When she was born in 1967, but that's good.
Okay, I'm proud of the fact that I'm turning 50.
Okay, we'll just go with
it. I'm finally old enough to not care. So
yeah, awesome. That's good.
Anyway, so 67 is a significant number.
But this is it's the path of totality. And first of all, I believe there's significance even the pathway itself. I was looking at the cities there, and I felt like the Lord was saying there is going to be a geographical manifestation of the open heaven over that literal pathway. And it starts in Oregon. It's amazing. It starts essentially where the Elijah list comes out of, Albany.
That is so cool.
And Corvallis. And so, and there's something about this whole pathway that's really a prophetic path. And I was seeing like a vision of eagles' nests and eagles being released. And if you follow that path on at key places, is Kansas City as well. It's right over Kansas City, and that's kind of the original eagle's nest for the prophetic and so many of the
International
prophets.
House of Prayer.
Yeah, but I mean, but specifically the prophetic. There's whether, Paul Kane, Bob Jones, Sean Bolts, John Paul Jackson, Bob Hartley. There's all these, James Gall. This was a nest for kind of this first generation of the prophetic that's now... carrying it still, but releasing it to the next generation. And so this comes through there. And the pathway goes through Nashville as well. And I believe there's a whole There are some Nashville prophets that are friends of mine as well, but there's a new manifestation of the prophetic, I believe, coming out of Nashville that'll be about a sound coming out of Nashville, a prophetic sound. And so it'll be more about the arts and entertainment and what's coming out that represents this next wave, this next focus of God, of reformation of society. God made great, yeah, in every area of society. And then it comes out in Charleston. There's something really unique in Charleston as well, I believe.
South Carolina.
Charleston, South Carolina. That will carry it from sea to shining sea. And I believe there is a prophetic awakening over that city. But there's models of apostolic prophetic together that are being released there. But I think we'll see. And it's not just, there's other key cities. There's Casper, Wyoming. There's Lincoln, Nebraska, and I was trying to remember some other, I think Salem, Oregon. Those things came to my mind as places of unique open heavens. But I think we're going to see that something literally shifted and changed. And there's going to be, just like in the natural, that particular pathway, people came to see.
Yeah.
The seers, those who have a hunger to see, are coming there, and there is an awakening of the seers in that pathway.
Now, some people, they're going to say, they get a little zealous, and they maybe overemphasize the actual moment of the eclipse. It's not like you're prophesying that in that very moment, there's going to be something that, all of a sudden shows up and people are going to be, different people, or there's going to be revival that just immediately hits those cities. You're not saying that. You're saying there's something that it represents that will put into motion, interact with the spirit and the natural, interact together, and the heavens declare it, releases it, and then we watch over the next several years and see it play out.
Yeah, it means something's starting. So there is a switch on effect, yeah. And in that, yeah, there might be some immediate miracles, shifts, change that take place, but it's more that it signifies the time of the switch going on. And also, the Lord led me to Psalm 67 as it relates to that 67-mile pathway.
Uh-huh.
And Psalm 67, verse 1, and this is really for the United States at this time. The whole chapter, if we had time to read it, is just amazing. It's about mercy, kindness, great graciousness of God. First verse, God bless us and cause his face to shine on us, depending on what version of the Bible, God be merciful to us. But it's about causing his face to shine on us, Selah. And then
wow.
It goes on to speak, verse 4, the middle of the chapter, you will judge the people righteously and you will govern the nations upon the earth. It establishes again this sovereignty of God that we forget a lot of times. He wants us involved in the process, so he doesn't just overrule everything we do, but there are moments that he steps in. This is a time where he is stepping in, is like saying, cooperate with me as I step in. And but he's going to showcase himself, judging people righteously and governing the nations upon the earth. But it's a time of mercy, blessing, grace for the United States. This
so
is
when
a
his
season.
Face shines on us,
it's mercy.
It's mercy. And so back to the picture of the solar eclipse.
His face shining on us.
His face shining on us. So we, of course, as a society, we have discovered that the sun does not revolve around the earth. The earth revolves around the sun. And so we've got humanity revolving around the truth of who God is. And we've got the sun as the only source of light. And the moon that we look up into the sky, I'm giving you a quick little science lesson here. The moon, of course, when you look up at it in the night, it looks like it's glowing, but it actually has no light of its own. It's a planet just like the earth is, but it's barren, and it reflects the light of the sun. So even at nighttime, when we can't personally see the sun for ourselves, when humanity cannot see the face of God, humanity in the darkness looks to the church, and the church is represented by the moon. The church has no light of its own, so to speak, but it reflects the heart and the nature and the character, the kindness, the mercy of God, then the earth, the world, is able to look and see the truth of who God is. So it's a Psalm 67, one moment of his face shining on us.
And that is the unmistakable thing that everybody's looking for. You're looking up and you're wanting to see when the sun, the face of the sun shines, because that's officially, you've done seeing the fascinating event is when you see the sun again shines, like, yes. And so, but it is very, anytime you see in the scriptures, his face shining on us, it means a season, a moment of blessing, favor, and mercy. And so this is very important. This is what's over the United States. That's why this is not a sign, as some are saying, of judgment, cataclysmic, anything.
Yeah.
There's always going to be, you know, things that are happening that you can attach, that, you know, they look cataclysmic on their own, but that's not the main event at all of what's taking place. It's the Lord shining his face on us and shining his face on the church so the church can arise. Back to the what we said in our previous podcast related to the solar eclipse, that it's happening on August 21st, which is to take us to Romans 8:21, just as it is, you know, the 8 from the 8th month. And so Romans 8:21 says that creation itself will be set free to the glorious liberty of the children of God. And so there's something being released even so that the children of God can step into the next level of liberty. And it's really rare.
That's so good.
It's rare. They said what's so rare about this type of eclipse is that, for one thing, it has to happen in the middle of the day. Like, if it's one thing for it to just be geographically over us, but if it was geographically over us at 2, 3, 4 in the morning, nobody would know, essentially.
Right, exactly.
But he's making it so that his face can shine us, so we can all see what he's doing.
Wow.
And so that's what's...
What a picture of what he's doing in our generation.
Super significant. So there's another thing with the 67, again, the number,
mm-hmm.
The 67-mile pathway of totality, Psalm 67. And then it's reminding us again of 1967. There is both a revisiting of 1967 and then an advancing it, taking it to the next level, the 50-year jubilee celebration of that. 1967, many societal changes were taking place, but the most significant one was the Jesus movement. And for those,
the summer of love,
the summer of love was what that wasn't the Jesus movement end of it. That's what was happening in the world at the same time, but it's really motivated by the same drive, you know, in society. There was a hunger for authenticity, that which is real. They demanded something different than what was going on in the previous generation, their parents. And there was a spiritual cry that was the same thing.
It was a return to the simplicity of love. And some settled for earthly manifestations of love, and some discovered the love of Jesus.
Yeah, and specifically, you know, the catalytic person, figure, associated with the 1967 Jesus movement is a man named Lonnie Frisbee.
Hmm.
And this man, I believe the Lord has spoken to me that he is still due more honor here on earth. And really, he is, again, the key figure.
He's passed away, of course.
We'll get into that. But he's the key figure for the Jesus movement. He was also, he's the catalytic person for there being the Vineyard denomination and movement and the Calvary Chapel movement denomination. They were small, very tiny to insignificant. But he came and he really brought the presence of the Holy Spirit. Hmm. And John Wimber acknowledges as much. There was one meeting where Lonnie Frisbee came in and said, "Come, Holy Spirit," and the Vineyard changed forever.
Wow.
And it went from just being a single church into being a whole movement that it is now. And Calvary Chapel was just a tiny little, I don't even know if it was called that, but with under Chuck Smith, a tiny little church. And Lonnie Frisbee came in and he hosted the presence of the Holy Spirit. He carried his presence, his power. He was a young, broken hippie himself, but he just pure-hearted with a smile. Authority over demons was amazing. And he went up and down really the coast of California, a lot of it around Orange County, Newport Beach, Costa Mesa.
Not far from here.
Not that far from here, and baptized thousands. And many of them, he would just speak a word and the demons would leave them. There was clearly this black and white demonstration of the kingdom. People were coming in. They didn't have to be manhandled and scared with hell. There was the presence of God. They were being set free in an instant from drugs. There's so many hundreds of testimonies of that era of people who were totally locked down in drugs and addiction, sexual
them.
Brokenness. And
I've
in one,
heard them
and in
tell
one
it themselves.
Instance,
yep.
They were, and sometimes it'd be why they're being baptized.
Yep.
But it really tied into the power of God breaking through in an amazing way. And I think this is what we're to return to. We'll talk more about that in the next podcast, perhaps, just how this is going to look and some things the Lord's told me how it's going to look. But we want to, you know, just this person of Lonnie Frisbee, the part I did say, yeah, he's passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason he has been, you know, we'll say weeded out and edited out of even the history of sometimes the Jesus movement and of the denominations, because it's difficult to keep him there because he was one who had brokenness. He struggled with homosexuality at different times and so ultimately succumbed to AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard to process that for churches and church movements and church leaders. But it
yeah,
tells
like
us,
how could God use someone yeah. that's broken?
And that's the question.
We've realized since then he does it over and over and over again.
And you know, it's amazing because Lonnie Frisbee, I think if we understood really the fullness of the story, it's looked at a lot like, well, he ultimately failed the church because he fell into sin. But in so many ways, perhaps in greater ways, the church failed him because he really came in. He was pure-hearted. He came from a lot of brokenness. He himself was sexually abused.
And of course, we didn't have the tools we have and the understanding in that generation that we do now of inner healing and going after some of those childhood wounds.
But when you come and the anointing's on you in a strong way in church circles and you begin to be promoted,
yeah.
then it's a treacherous place even yeah. in the body of Christ. There's a lot of manipulation, witchcraft. People are aware. To have Lonnie Frisbee at your meeting was going to draw people,
right.
credibility. And so he got used.
Yeah.
And nobody cared about, he was not parented in a proper way. He was not covered. He was not assisted. He was not helped. And so again, I think there's a reason the Lord, he didn't just like, well, he's got problems, but we'll use him anyway. It's like I feel like there's a part two of the message of Lonnie Frisbee. I think there's such a visitation of God coming to the sexually broken community.
Yeah.
And it's going to come in the same spirit as what Lonnie Frisbee brought. And there's going to be freedom. But the church is getting it's really the church that gets another opportunity to do it right this time. And
wow.
we didn't last time.
Wow.
We kicked them out. New denominations had to be formed because the existing denominations didn't want the smelly, demonized hippies and they call them, you know, thought that. And the ones that have problems, the ones you're going to have to love for a period of time, they're not just going to be perfect in their behavior overnight. And so this is an opportunity, again, round two for the church if we get it right. And but yet it's going to go further than that because it's now tied in not just to a revival and an awakening, but this is now God in every area of society. This is now into reformation. And it's really going to begin to carry the presence of God into the seven mountains. Maybe I'll speak more and when we get to our next podcast about how God's going to take this deliverance movement, demon-busting anointing,
yeah.
into the seven mountains to accelerate even the advance of the kingdom of God, the reforming heart of God, the reformer's heart of God,
yeah.
he who loves everybody, cities, nations, and it really is going to be amazing.
You know, just to make a couple comments on some of the things that you just said, we just covered a lot as we're closing here. I think about, I'm just going to generalize right now, but so many in the body of Christ in the last few years, we've been gaining new ground of understanding the grace of God and disconnecting more and more from religion and from legalism, and it's taken a while because that plays out in our hearts and our lives and the way that we think and the kind of decisions that we make. But the way it plays out the most is our perspective of God. And when we wrongly assume that he's looking us through eyes of judgment and mm-hmm. through eyes where his number one goal is to get us to behave.
That's right.
Then that is the God that we reflect to the people around us.
Unfortunately.
And I can't think of anything. This is something I say frequently, but I can't think of anything more tragic than love that is being poured out but isn't received. And I think this is a time where we're learning how loved we are. And because of the Garden of Eden, we ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We began to look at God, is he good or is he evil? Is he for me? Is he against me? And we began to look at God through the filter of our everyday circumstances and through the crisis and the tragedy that we can each point to in our own lives. And we whittle God's heart for us down to our worst moments. And what I believe one of the things God has been doing is he's been shifting us. This is back to the picture of the solar eclipse and us reflecting the true heart of God to those that are in darkness. And we don't have light of our own. And you're saying that this shift is about the face of God shining on us, Psalm 67:1, and it's about us reflecting his mercy and his kindness. Well, we first needed to see his mercy and his kindness.
Yeah.
And it's taken a lot for us, I think, the last few generations to grow up to the point where we look at God beyond the immediate tragedy, chaos, circumstances, the contradictions in our lives, the mystery of just how things play out sometimes in such a disappointing way. And we look at him and we say, but I know that I know that I know that you are good and you love me. And when his sons and daughters fully become convinced of how much he loves us, then he can send his favor to us. And he loves us too much to let us get the favor and the love confused. Favor is for the assignment. And so favor is going to come and go because your assignment is going to go through seasons. Your assignment is going to shift and change through your lifetime. And so you're going to see times of favor and times where he pulls you back and he hides you, or it's harder to find his goodness, just to be that blunt about it. But we have to continue on in the foundation of I'm loved. The favor comes and goes. The love is always there, whether we feel it or not, whether our circumstances tell us that we're loved or not. And as we're becoming more rooted in that love that he has for us, we're going to be able to better reflect, like this solar eclipse, we're going to be able to better reflect the truth of who he is to the world. Not this us versus them thing, but we're going to say, hey, all I know is that I am so sure that he loves me that I know he loves you. And because I know that he loves you, I can care about you and I can be free enough to love you right where you are. Because I'm not afraid of a God that is going to think I'm condoning the sin that you are stuck in right now. We can get more into that the next time, but I know we just barely began to touch on this idea of the black and white power confrontation, so we will definitely step into that, talk about that in the next podcast. Again, you can go to our website, johnnyandelizabeth.com. We will be continuing to put blogs up there. There should be a blog up by now that tells you in great detail all about this prophetic word that Johnny has related to the eclipse. And he's got all the numbers and the scriptures in there for you, those of you that want to really delve into it. And there's another blog that I think was the time before that that's on there about, you just mentioned the Summer of Love. And we are right now in the middle of the 50 years since that that time, and the Lord showed you that this summer is actually the summer of the dove. The Holy Spirit is doing very specific things.
Waves of sound and waves of new songs from heaven coming in for this season of Reformation.
So that blog is amazing also. And so you might want to take the time to go and check that blog out on johnnyelizabeth.com. And again, I'm just going to plug my new book that's coming up, God in Every Season. Keep an eye out for that. That'll be released sometime this fall. We are in seasons that shift and change. And when we're aligned with the heart of God and the season that He has us in, then we don't panic when things don't look like we think they should look. And we align ourselves with His purposes for that season. So my book, God in Every Season, really touches on that. Thank you for joining us. John, you want to just pray over those that have been listening or watching?
Yes, Lord, we just thank you for your presence even now, and thank you for that which you're releasing even through this podcast, Lord. And we just pray that there would be even a sense by those who are listening right now of your presence coming on them, preparing them to carry this new thing, this new presence of love and power from heaven into every area of society. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Bless you guys.
Yes.